every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Michael B. Ballard, the marriage pastor, and I am a love, sex, and attachment expert certified from the kingdom of God. And I'm here to help you have a more God-centered love life. So whether you're single and ready to mingle, or you're already hitched but your love is in a ditch, I'm here to be your guide on your heart's journey, and we're going to remix love from a kingdom standpoint. So I am excited to be here today, and thank you, thank you, thank you for choosing me as your guide. Are you ready? Well, buckle up, buttercup, because we're about to go on a journey. Let me go ahead and add my notes. First of all, shouts out to all my Faithful Hearts community. If you are part of my community, make sure you throw your hearts up in the air. And remember, we're standing on Genesis 1:26, which tells you everything you need to know about why God created you and your purpose for being in your marriage. So, without further ado, let us begin our journey and our teaching lesson, shall we? All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, for all you guys, make sure that you are removing all of your distractions, right? Turning off your cell phones, making sure you're taking this particular course on a home computer or a laptop, right? If you're at the Starbucks or the coffee house, put your headphones on so you can hear me. If you're at home, put the kids away, give them something to do, let them play. Well, this is probably the only time they can maybe play a video game or something, right? And if you are doing this in our small groups or in our churches, please be mindful of all of the people that are trying to learn something from there. And if you are doing this with your spouse, if you are doing this with your loved one, I want you to take a deep breath, especially for those who may have gotten into an argument or a fight or something, and you're coming with all of this negative energy. Release that energy, right? God is going to deliver you some messages from his word to help you have a better and more healthy relationship. And if you're not in a relationship yet, don't worry. You're going to get some skills. You're going to be better suited for marriage, for that relationship with these classes. I got you. I'm excited, guys. So let's go to what we're going to be learning today. Of course, this is my Divine Love Lessons classes. This was the Foundation of Love series. You are in part two or model two or section two or however you want to describe it. Of this particular series. Remember, this series has three parts. This particular part of the series is called Love in Creation. Love in Creation, how we are seeing how love can be shown in how God created us and how he created the world, and being able to mirror that and how we love on our significant others. This particular lesson is lesson three. Well, module three, however you are wording it in your journey. And this particular module is called the Garden of Eden as a space of love. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. I'm excited because every time I teach this class, I get new and fresh revelation. So this is the Garden of Eden as a space of love. And remember, as I teach, the Garden of Eden was the ultimate space before there was a such thing as Netflix and chill, right? This was the place where love resided. This is the foundation of where love and matrimony began. This is where Genesis 1:26 was formed. Side note, Garden of Eden wasn't just a metaphorical or a physical garden, but it was actually known as spot, as my teacher Dr. Miles Monroe says. It was spot. It was presence. It was a part of who God's presence were. So it wasn't just a physical place, but it also, because it's a complicated word in Hebrew, It doesn't just mean one thing, but Eden meant the very presence and nature of God. So this is where love is formed, not just in a physical place, but in the actual total essence of who God is. So Eden is just the place where God is. And this is where love, this is the space where love resides. Amen. Remember, if you don't haven't done this already, please make sure you download your workbooks. But the individuals that are taking this class, everyone should have their own workbook. And if you are a facilitator using this as a resource or a guide, you also have your own separate workbook. So please go to michaeldballard.com. There are links on that web on the webpage where you can download that workbook. It also gives you access to where all of the other classes are stored. And this is how you support this channel. I give this to you guys for free, but in order for you to support this channel and support the mission to go and take love, sex, and attachment to the world, teaching it in a way that it was supposed to be taught from the originator, which is God, which is Jesus, which is from heaven. This is how you support me in that mission and become part of the Faithful Hearts community. By downloading those workbooks, you support this channel. Okay, so story time. And as always, I love to begin each class with a nice story. Now, for all those who of my Latin brothers and sisters, if I torture this pronunciation, blame it on the heart. I'm sorry, blame it on the head, not the heart. This story is called El Jardín del Amor, a.k.a. the Garden of Love. Did I say that right? El Jardín del Amor. That's my Latin flavor coming out. In a quiet neighborhood of a bustling city lived a Latin couple, Carlos and Isabel. They were known in their community for their lush, beautiful garden, which they called El Jardín del Amor, the Garden of Love. This garden wasn't just a collection of plants and flowers. It was a symbol of their love and partnership. Carlos, an architect, and Isabel, a school teacher, had started the garden when they first moved into their home. It was inspired by the story of the Garden of Eden. They wanted to create a space that was not just beautiful to look at, but also a place of love, harmony, and peace. A sanctuary in the midst of city's chaos. That's profound. Just that alone. Oh, you have to create a safe space in the midst of the chaos. Not just the chaos in the world, but the chaos of working and the children and everything that's going on in your life. As a married couple or those that are seeking to become a couple one day, always have a El Jardín del Amor, a garden of love, a place where you can go. That just came to me in the spirit. Every plant and flower in their garden had a story. There were roses that they planted on their first wedding anniversary, lilies that were a gift from a dear friend, and a small olive tree that marked the birth of their first child. Carlos and Isabel spent evenings in that garden, tending to the plants, sharing stories of their day, and dreaming of their future. Their garden became a space where they resolved conflicts and grew closer. It was in this garden that they learned of the importance of nurturing not just plants, but also their relationship. They understood that, like the plants, their love needed constant care, attention, and the right environment to grow. El Jardín del Amor was also a space of hospitality and community. Carlos and Isabel often invited neighbors, friends, and family over for a gathering. The garden was a place where relationships flourished, laughter was shared, and new connections were made. Ah, isn't that beautiful? I want to go to that garden. See, that garden was a daily reminder of God's original intent for us, for humanity, to live in a loving relationship with each other and with family and friends. Let's go to our scripture reading, which is found in Genesis 2, 8 through 9 and 15 through 25. Remember, those that are in small groups or in classes, you can pause this. And I encourage you to choose members to read these scriptures out loud. But for those that are just a part of this particular class, we're going to go through these scriptures ourselves. We're going to read them together. We're going to read through Genesis 2, 8 through 9 and 15 through 25. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord gave command. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So she shall be called woman. Because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Praise God. Now, as I was reading that, I want to tell you guys, God just dropped some revelation on me that, and I got to share it. Now, first, what I want to do is give you what I was going to give based on this lesson. And this is just for those who want to be able to utilize the workbook. But I got to talk to you guys about some points that God was downloading, the Holy Spirit was downloading as I was reading it. And then, like I said, I get fresh revelation every time I teach. I didn't even have these in my notes. But it's interesting. You know what? I'm going to go back. Before I give you what I wrote, let me break down a couple of things that God gave me that just took this thing to the next level. First, God said this. Oh, glory to God. Men, listen. Before you bring another woman, before you go and God brings a woman into your world, God just said, a man must learn how to live in his garden in peace. He must learn how to live in his garden in peace first. What does that mean? That means that before you can bring somebody else into your world, you must already know what peace feels like. Because if you don't know what peace feels like without her, then you will never know what it feels like when it's being distorted, when it's being disturbed. You have to already set up rules in your life to understand what you need to be peaceful. Because you can't expect for someone to give you some peace or abide by the rules of your peace if you first don't know what it feels like and have not established it. Then God just told me, but Michael, go a little bit beyond that. It is I who established the peace. It is I who established the garden. I set up those parameters and I teach you what peace is. That's why it's important for a man to spend time with God before he brings a woman into his life. Because if you don't, you'll let her be your peace. And that's what's wrong with a lot of men in relationships. They're expecting the woman to be their peace. No. God is your peace. God sets the standard for your peace. God creates the garden. You live in it. You learn it. You have the rules. You have the understanding. And when she comes into a peaceful environment. She comes into the peace. And you help to cultivate and you help to train and teach. Because it was God's creation for man to be the leader in that home. Even in regards to peace. We live in a society where we say that the woman brings the peace. No, because if she brings the peace, then she can also take the peace away. And that comes from God. She is not your God. She does not dictate the peace in your house. God does. And you live in it and you learn it. And that's God dropped in my spirit as I was reading it, because I've heard too many times where we want the woman to be our peace. No, a woman is supposed to be peaceful. But if she brings the peace, then she has the power to remove the peace in your home. The garden of peace is in your heart. It's in the presence of God. Which means no matter what your situation is, you can always have God's peace in your life, even in the midst of a chaotic world. God is the peace. And as long as you live in Him and whoever's with you, you bring into that peace, that's the peace that surpasses all understanding. Glory to God. Help me, Lord. Help me. There's so much to say, but that's what God wanted me to drop. That's it. I don't have anything else, Lord, so we're going to move on. So let's go to, now we can go to the points. Love in the environment of care. We're going to break down that scripture. These are my points. Love in the environment of care. Think about it. In Genesis 2, 8 through 9, and 15 through 25, which narrates the creation of the Garden of Eden in the first humans, we're going to break down these points. When we talk about love in the environment of care, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, a beautiful and nurturing environment. Remember that. He created the environment. It's God who creates your environment, not you. Not you. God creates the environment that we are supposed to live in within our relationships. It goes beyond the physical and emotional and spiritual aspects of love. This is the nurture of love and support. Just as the garden provides substance and beauty, healthy relationships require a healthy environment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's bringing it all together into me. It is important to have the environment. Oh, glory to God. This is blessing me. The environment is the cornerstone where love flourishes. The environment is important. The environment and conditions of your heart. Not necessarily the place. Because you can have a peaceful home, a peaceful neighborhood, and a peaceful place. But if you put some people in there that don't have that Garden of Eden in their heart, they're going to turn it into a chaotic environment. So the environment is not just when he's talking about the physical environment, but you have to have an environment in your heart. Eating in your heart in order to flourish a healthy and God-centered relationship, which means there's some work that you need to do within your heart. Because there can be things that look so good on the outside. Have you ever saw a home that looked good on the outside, but inside it was chaotic. It was filth and bugs and the smell and the stench. Didn't matter that the building was beautiful, that the structure was beautiful. It was chaotic all around. So it doesn't matter what your home looks like on the outside or your conditions on the outside. If there's no love on the inside, if there's no Garden of Eden, no peace on the inside, it will turn whatever environment you're in chaotic. That came from the Holy Spirit. Next, we want to talk about partnership and companionship. It's not good that the man should be alone. This is the fundamental human need for compassion. For companionship, not just in an intimate fashion, but in a fashion of community. So if you get married or in a relationship with just you and this one person and you cut everybody else out, that's not good either. It's not just me and you and nobody else. See, there's a reason we get married with big weddings and we have a bride. It's amazing how all the bridesmaids and all the groomsmaids are there at the wedding. But how many of those people you bring into your life when you are going through issues, when you're struggling? Community matters. Not just people, though. Be key. Don't just bring people into your community, because some of those same people can be the cause and source of some of your frustration. So you also got to make sure that they also have the Garden of Eden in their hearts, because bad company corrupts. I'm probably be saying that wrong. But if you hang around with bad people, it will corrupt your character. I'm paraphrasing, but you understand what I'm saying. We also talk about shared responsibility and stewardship. Listen, we talk about Genesis 1:26, which is the foundation of marriage. God gave a command to both of them. It was a shared responsibility for them to nurture their community, their garden, as well as the people in that are around them. So when you get in a relationship, understand that your friends and their friends and their family, your family, play a role in how the health of that relationship grows and gathers. But the mandate, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, is what I like to call the marriage mandate. The marriage mandate. When you get married, God gives you guys a marriage mandate, an assignment that is specific to your particular marriage. And it is important for us first to find out what that marriage mandate is, because he brought Adam and Eve together for a purpose. When they got married, he gave them the marriage mandate, which is to steward the world. Now, your marriage mandate may be a global one, or it may be a local one. It may be just to create godly offspring. That may be a part of your mandate. I teach the different mandates that God gives couples and showing you which one is your mandate. Just like he gave 1:5, Titus 1:2, 1:1. Some marriages can have a single focus to their mandate. Some can have a multiple focus to their marriage mandate. But understand, you do have a marriage mandate that he gave both of you, and it's always connected to the kingdom. Do you know what that responsibility is? Do you know what that stewardship is on why he brought you together? It's not just to watch Netflix and chill. It is for you to do something for the kingdom of God. Find out what that is. That is the purpose of the relationship. Also, it says naming and knowing. Naming and knowing. Let's break down naming and knowing. Adam's task of naming the animals signified understanding and relationship. Similarly, love involves truly knowing and understanding one another. It's about seeing the depth of the other person, acknowledging their uniqueness, and appreciating their role in your life. Whoa. Naming and knowing. That was so profound. See, that story was symbolic of what you can mirror in your relationship. How many people are in marriages or in relationships where they can truly say that they know that other person's spouse. I can tell you, when the pandemic hit, divorce went up. Why? Because it forced people to be in houses with people, in spaces with people where they just didn't know who that person was anymore. In the midst of us going to work, in traffic, the hustle and bustle of life, we probably spend an hour, 2 hours, maybe three if that much, in a day with that spouse. And most of it is just recapping what happened throughout the day. Most of it is just recapping. We truly don't really know who our spouses are, because the person you marry is not the same person that you're sleeping with today. This is why people grow out of love or fall out of love, right? Because you stop being intentional about your love. You stop. Not only that, you're not equipped to really deal with the nuances and the idiosyncrasies that come with being a human being. People are going to get on your nerves. The habits are going to be out there. The attitudes, the emotions, the spiritual turbulence will tear away and eat at your love. I call them love termites. And if you're not constantly in your garden of your relationship, picking out the termites and protecting against them and tending your garden daily, you are going to get out of the knowing of your spouse. Look at that word knowing. When the Bible talks about the intimacy parts of relationship, it says Adam knew Sarah. David knew Bathsheba. Knowing, it's an intimate word. It goes deep within, oh, that's that person's name. And we in a world, especially the dating world, but most times you don't even know if that's the person's real name. We are very shallow in the depths of our relationships. And God is calling us to go deeper. Unity and intimacy. Let's talk about that. The creation of Eve from Adam's rib and their subsequent reunion as one flesh illustrates the deep unity and intimacy inherent in love. This unity goes beyond physical togetherness. It is about emotional and spiritual bonding, where individuals come together in a profound and harmonious manner. You know, when we talk about coming together and intimacy and unity, first thing we think about is sex, right? To me, sex is the lowest, or I wouldn't say the lowest, but the easiest form of intimacy, right? Because it doesn't take a lot to think about, right? You take slot A and put it into slot B, right? And we most people know how to do that, right? That's the simplest and easiest form that we do. Whether it's good or not is a whole other story. But we understand the principle of how to have sex. Most times we don't understand how to have emotional sex. We don't know how to have spiritual sex. We don't understand those concepts. And that's one of the reasons why regular sex sometimes is unsatisfying or becomes mundane. And you think it's the person, and it causes you to go and try to seek someone else or seek other avenues to get your dopamine and your oxytocin and your vasopressin and your adrenaline, right? Because those are the things that's happening during the sex. That's what you're really searching for, right? It's causing those chemicals to go off. Because we don't know the deeper meaning of unity and intimacy. This is profound in understanding why we have to go deeper in our relationships and find other ways to connect than just the physical. Vulnerability and trust. Here's the final verse, okay? So it's known that Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. It speaks to the vulnerability and trust that come with true love. In a loving relationship, there is openness and willingness to be vulnerable, coupled with the trust that one will be accepted and loved unconditionally. When they talk about they were naked and unashamed, they talked about, which God, when I heard a man say this, if you stand with your spouse and there is any shame in your ability to be vulnerable and naked in front of them, that is a clear sign that there is something wrong in your marriage. If you cannot be too truly transparent and naked in front of the person you're with, that is a red flag. Not, and that doesn't necessarily mean that something's wrong with them necessarily, but it does show you that this is something in our relationship that we need to deal with. Because if we can't be unashamed and naked in front of each other, which is the most vulnerable space that you can be, then we have to do something about that guard, that garden environment that we're currently in, so that we can have what God is calling us, a garden experience in our relationships and marriages. So I want to encourage you today to make sure that you do some interperspective, some thinking, some soul searching, and some analyzing in your marriages, so that you can weed out what's in that garden that's causing you to be unashamed in your vulnerability to your spouse. That's why I created, which is a great segue, the Return on Love Investment. This will unlock the true value of your relationship. This helps you to weed out the weeds in your love garden. This helps you to determine what's really happened in your relationships that we need to work on. And it also helps celebrate those things that are going on in your marriage that sometimes you can't see because of the midst of the emotional noise that may be happening. So make sure you go download that, fill out that assessment. It is free. And it will help you to ask some real tough questions and be honest with this assessment. It will help you get to the next level. Remember, share this with your other cohorts. If you are a facilitator, share this with other small groups and other members of churches as a resource, or even a source to help to subsidize or be an extension to your ministry for your, for the singles as well as the people that are married. That's what we're here to do. And I appreciate you guys that for taking this particular course. This is module 3. Module 4, we're going to be doing the responsibility that was entrusted to humanity, the things that God, the stewardship that God has given us as it reflects our marriages and our marriage mandate of Genesis 1:26. Again, this is Pastor Michael, the marriage pastor. And remember, love intentionally. Choose wisely. Guard your hearts, because you only get marriage on this side of eternity. You want to make sure you're doing it God's will. I love you with the love of Christ. And I'll see you in the next lesson.